Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
And thank you for that scripture reading, Phil. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most popular psalms in the Bible. If you type into Google and search for the most popular psalm, or the most comforting psalm, or even the psalms to memorize, Psalm 23 is very often number one on those lists, or at least near the very top. And rightly so. It is a psalm of acknowledgement of the Lord being our shepherd. It is a psalm of peace and of restoration. It is a psalm of correction and comfort in difficult times. And it is a psalm of promise. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they shall comfort me." Our world has fallen into a valley, a shadow, into a dark time. Our world has become a world that is engulfed with fear, and as one person said, has lost much of its critical thinking. Two weeks ago, on March 17th, Lisa and I, along with Hannah, were sitting in our living room after supper, and we're reading some of the news updates of the day. That day, BC school systems shut down due to the COVID-19 virus. And along with the schools were pubs and bars, restaurants and coffee shops, and all other areas and events of social gatherings and interactions. This signaled the first step of the social distancing policies we see being implemented today. Earlier that day, I received a phone call from what sounded like a very nervous individual in regards to the events that were happening around us. The individual asked what was my take on the whole situation. I sensed their fear in their voice, and I calmly responded, and I still believe, it is a media exploitation of an unreasonable fear creating unreasonable panic. I told the individual, we need to be cautious, of course, but we also need to be reasonable with the situation. And that was the inspiration or the thought that gave me the thoughts for this message. It's titled, Panic versus Peace. Fear, anxiety, and panic versus the peace of God. And which one will you choose? Well, as we were sitting in our living room and discussing all of the events, I thought this would be a good time to teach, a good teaching opportunity for Hannah, to see if she knew the difference between a pandemic and an epidemic. We homeschool, so this I thought would be the perfect time for that. So I asked her, what is a pandemic? She quickly responded, a pandemic is an epidemic of panic. Well, we did laugh at that one a little bit, and there is some truth in what she said. But an epidemic is an outbreak of a disease that spreads more quickly and more extensively among a group of people than normally would be expected. A pandemic is the widespread of a disease or a condition that is found in a large part of a population. The coronavirus, or the COVID-19, is a pandemic. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says this of the two. An epidemic is defined as an outbreak of a disease that spreads quickly and affects many individuals at the same time. A pandemic is a type of epidemic, one with greater range and coverage, an outbreak of a disease that occurs over a wide geographic area and affects an exceptionally high proportion of the population. While a pandemic may be characterized as a type of epidemic, you would not say that an epidemic is a type of pandemic. Well, as I just said, COVID-19 is a pandemic. At the time of checking this out, it had spread to over 150 of the 195 countries in the world, and I'm sure by now that number is higher already too. But there is a pandemic that is spreading faster than COVID-19. There is a pandemic that is affecting more people than the coronavirus. It is fear. And it is one that is just as real. Once you are affected with fear, and you do not contain or control it, there's a good chance that your fear will grow into anxiety. And anxiety, if left to its own ways, will grow into panic. And if it is not properly contained in society, or the nation, or the world, it becomes, as Hannah said about her definition of a pandemic, you end up with an epidemic of panic. Fear can spread more quickly than any disease or illness known to man. It can travel thousands of miles in a single text. It can cross countries in moments in a single post or blog. It can circle the globe in a matter of days with the modern media ability we have developed today. And if you have a cell phone, or internet access, or a television, or even a radio, you can be affected. This infection, if we can use that term, can come from newspapers, from magazines, from posters, and billboards. And the most dangerous part is that you don't even need to come into contact with any one single person to get it. Fear. As I said, if left untreated, fear will take that person to the next stage, which is anxiety. In anxiety, the most common symptoms are lack of reasoning, irrational thoughts, the obsessive mulling of thoughts and scenarios, no matter how improbable or impractical they may be. It becomes a feeding frenzy for the mind on thoughts and possible actions and outcomes, no matter how irrational. Now, while anxiety is mostly inward and is contained in the thoughts of a person with only some external symptoms, if left unchecked, it can quickly develop into panic. Panic is then the final stage of fear. Panic is the body or person taking physical action on irrational thoughts and fears that have infected them and pushed them to whatever action they deem necessary to suppress the fear and anxiety that is driving the person mentally, no matter how irrational the act may be. Now, for real, from Wikipedia, fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes psychological changes and ultimately behavioral changes such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing from perceived traumatic events. Fear in human beings may occur in response to a certain stimulus occurring in the present, or in anticipation of expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. Anxiety is, still quoting from Wikipedia, is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, and is a feeling of uneasiness and worry, usually generalized and unfocused as an overreaction to a situation that is only subjectively seen as menacing. And also from Wikipedia, panic is a sudden sensation of fear which is so strong as to dominate or prevent reasoning and logical thinking, replacing it with overwhelming feelings of anxiety and frantic agitation consistent with an animalistic fight-or-flight reaction. Fear, anxiety, and panic is no joke. It is very powerful. It can cripple us. If we let fear loose in our minds, it will eventually lead to anxiety. If anxiety is left untreated and left alone to control our thoughts, it will consume us and will turn into panic. Panic. Well, when panic sets in, there is no end to what man can and will do when panic sets in. All in all, it becomes a very sad state for the person. It will rob the person of all peace, and can do lifelong damage to the person's physical and mental state and stability, and will leave that person in a perpetual cycle that has no end. Along with the spread of the COVID-19 virus, we have now seen fear encompass the entire world. But not only fear, but the growth of anxiety and panic as well. In the early stages, I heard of people resorting to violence and throwing punches over toilet paper in the stores. No matter how much the government and health organizations told us to remain calm, panic was still rampant. In a BBC article posted on March 24th titled "The Coronavirus Death Rate: What Are the Chances of Dying?" states, the UK government's scientific advisors believe that the chance of dying from a coronavirus infections are between 0.5% and 1%. End of quote. From the Insider News feed, a specialist pathogens expert, Dr. Sarah Madad, the senior director of the New York City Health and Hospital System-Wide Specialist Pathogens Program, says, there is a lot we still don't know about the coronavirus disease, but based on the data that is coming out, it seems to be a mild type of viral infection. There is a 2% fatality rate. She later goes on to say, let's just take the seasonal flu, for example. Seasonal flu this year started in October, and the Center for Disease Control Prevention are already reporting over 10,000 deaths related to the seasonal flu. And over again, we know 20 million Americans being infected. So let's just put things into context. End of quote. Context. Yes, let's talk about context. Yesterday, in talking and texting with Wayne, we talked about the amount of people who have died in Spain. I think it was over 5,000 in Spain alone. And now 27,000 have now died worldwide. My opinion is, it's not that serious. Now someone may say, Pastor, you're being a little bit too callous about the whole thing. These are real people. Yep, I agree. They are real people. They are real souls. They are living beings and persons. But so are the 10 million unborn children who have been aborted in this world so far this year alone. They are people. They are persons. They have a soul. And what does the media say about those? About 10 million abortions in this year alone? They don't say anything. We hear nothing. Context? What must God think of a world which is panicking over a virus which may take 2% of its victims, even if it takes 10% of its victims? But we don't even blink over the 50 million unborn that we will throw into the garbage this year alone. What must God think? Context. In the case of the coronavirus, so far this mortality percentage is only 2%, and it only increases if you have underlying or previous conditions, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, respiratory disease, or high blood pressure, or if you are over the age of 70. In the case of abortion, it is 100% mortality for simply being unwanted. Context. Let's stop and think for a moment. And yet fear of the coronavirus is still rampant. The span of fear is more widespread than the virus instilling it. As of yet, there is no cure for the COVID-19 virus except by prevention. But there is a cure for this pandemic of fear. If you are listening today and you find yourself held in the grips of fear and anxiety, there is a remedy. And the best news of all is it is free. There is freedom from fear. There is freedom from anxiety. And there is prevention for panic. As we watch our world getting wrapped up in the fears that is covering the globe with regards to the coronavirus, there is a way of escape. Not from the virus. That can only be done by taking hygienic and preventative measures and following some basic precautions. But there is a way of escape and cure for the fear that is infecting so many around us. The only sad part is that many don't want this cure. And if they do, it is often only for a short temporal time until the disease or whatever pandemic is present has passed and life returns to normal. This often happens with people who are only searching for a temporal relief from a fear that they are experiencing, or they search for a quick fix of comfort from the truth only to appease the moment. But it normally and usually isn't long-lasting or life-changing. It is only a temporal quick fix for those people looking for a quick crutch. There is, however, an escape and peace that we can hold on to for the rest of our lives. And it, or rather I should say, he, is found in this book. It is like the quote from Charles Spurgeon, which says, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." And if you want to be more personal, just listen to this anonymous quote I found, which says, "If your Bible is falling apart, chances are your life is staying together." This book holds the key. This book has the answers. This book has the truth. And from this book you will find the cure to all your fears. That I can guarantee, because it did for me. There is nothing in your life that is too hard for this book to answer, because it is God's word speaking to you. It is, as Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is the promise of peace that we can have. This is the promise that we can hold on to. This is the peace that will cover us. It is the peace that will fill us and gives us the knowledge that nothing in this world can take away that peace. Not the coronavirus, not an illness, not even death can remove or destroy that peace that we can have. And the question is, do you want it? We have seen in the past few weeks fear gripping the world and the anxiety it brings. We have seen the panic that has consumed many people. And as I said, the first time I heard that tissue paper was being hoarded and was being bought up by the cases and truckloads, that people were punching each other for toilet paper, I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was some made-up story for fake news. But I found it was real. It was real. People were punching each other for tissue paper in the stores. People were really hoarding tissue paper and stockpiling this product all because of fear. All because of panic. I thought it was nuts. But this is what fear will do when it is let loose. I told people that if this truly was to be a pandemic of some epic proportion and extended isolation, toilet paper would be one of the last concerns on my list. But this is panic. This is panic buying. This is anxiety taking over and taking over reasonable thinking. My guess is that most people who have 6 months or a year of tissue hoarded in their home probably don't have food in their homes to last 4 weeks if isolation came down to such extreme measures. It is absolutely crazy. This world has gone a little bit crazy. But as I said, there is freedom from this fear. There is freedom from this anxiety. And there is freedom from this panic, and it is free. Because I think the fear that is driving this world today is not the fear that they may run out of toilet paper. No, that's not the fear. That's just unreasonable anxiety and panic. The fear of the virus is not even reasonable because 85% of people who get it may not even know they have it or may only have mild symptoms. This is not the fear. I've had flu many times. It is not the fear of being one of the 10% who get really sick and may need to be hospitalized that scares people. I think what really scares people is death. It is a fear that this is the end and that they are not ready. This is what they fear. All the others are irrational. That 2% mortality rate, that if you actually get the virus and may die, this is what they fear. And when fear turns into anxiety, it results into the lack of reasoning and irrational and rational thinking. And when you run with anxiety, panic will take over, and it all can be prevented. And it all starts with this book, The Freedom from Fear. If you are a believer, I hope that the words from Scripture have increased your faith during this time that we're now facing. If you are a non-believer, I hope that you will find faith in these words. True faith, the only faith that saves and can free you from fear and from something far worse than any coronavirus. And it all starts with looking at your own heart. A.W. Tozer once said, "An honest man with an open Bible and a pad and a pencil is sure to find out what is wrong with him very quickly." That is so true. That is so true. When we come to see ourselves through the words of the Bible, through the eyes of God, we find out very quickly what is wrong with us, and it doesn't come from the coronavirus. To look at our problem from within, inside, there's a step one. The first step is to acknowledge that there is a God. There is an all-knowing, an all-seeing, an all-powerful God who created everything. If you deny this, well, then you might as well turn me off right now. Because if you do not believe that there is a God, a real person, a God who knows you and created you, well, then you are just a germ on this planet, riding the evolution ball of existence, and COVID-19 is just another evolutionary development to decide the survival of the fittest. If you do not believe that there is a God, then you must choose the other. But if you acknowledge that there is a God, then Romans chapter 3 tells us very well what we have become. So turn to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 through 20, we read just what the initial problem is when it comes to man. Paul says, starting in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And if we jump down to verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and broken God's law. We only need to look at the Ten Commandments, and we can see that we are guilty of breaking God's command. If we believe that there is a God, and he created all things and gave us moral laws that we should live by, where do you find yourself in comparison to them? Paul says that all the world may become guilty before God, and that includes you and me and all of mankind. In Exodus chapter 20, we will read the verses that pertain to the law, or the Ten Commandments. And for the unbelievers out there, look where we fall short, because we have all been there. We all fall short. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 3, it says, you shall have no other God before me. Verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 13, you shall not murder. 14, you shall not commit adultery. 15, you shall not steal. 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. If you have broken just one of these, then you are guilty of breaking the law in all of them. And he must punish. You see, when we commit a crime in our society, a judge must punish us for that crime that we have committed. If we drove too fast, we must pay the fine. If we stole a car or robbed a bank, we may need to go to prison for some time. If we raped someone or murdered someone, we may have to go to prison for a very, very long time. And in some places, we may even have to pay with our own life. We pay the penalty that is due to us for what we did, and God is no different. In fact, that is where our justice comes from the laws of God. And what is God's punishment for someone who has broken his law? Anyone? Death and hell. Yes. Because there is nothing that we can pay. There's nothing that we can pay him to atone for one sin. The sinner or the lost man is condemned to hell for his sin and unbelief. You see, God cannot allow a liar, an adulterer, or a thief, or a blasphemer into heaven. It would not be just. He would cease to be a just God if he did. And let me just give you a bit of warning here. My opinion. You will hear, or maybe have heard possibly from other Christians, that God loves you just as you are. Let me tell you, that is not true. It is an untruth in order to make sinners feel more comfortable in their sins. God did not love me as I was. I was a wretched sinner filled with filth. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Wicked is what I was before I was saved. It is, as Paul says to the Romans in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. When we come to see the wickedness that is in our own hearts and see our sins through the eyes of God, it should make us weep. It should make us mourn for the offenses we have committed towards God and His law. But there is hope. There is step two. There is a way of redemption for our lost and condemned souls and from the freedom of fear. And that is found in two words: repent and believe. To repent from our sins, of our sinful lifestyle, and the waywardness of our hearts, and believe on the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to earth as a sinless man and paid our price and took our sins on the cross in our place as an atonement, as a payment for God's wrath, that we may have life and be washed and be freed from our sins. 1 Timothy 2:3-6 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is the free gift. This is the redemption that we long for, that we can be made right in the eyes of God, in that Jesus has taken upon himself our sins, and that we can be forgiven and washed clean of all our unrighteousness and be made pure in the sight of God. This is the freedom from fear and of death that we can have. When we do this, we know that we can have eternal fellowship with God in heaven forever. And say, as Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the freedom we can have. This is the freedom you can have. This is the redemption from hellfire that we can escape. It is not from our own works, but through the trust and faith in Jesus Christ that he has delivered us and made a way for us to escape God's wrath and punishment that is coming on all those who do not believe. Menno Simons says it well. He says, this is the real intention and object of the law: to reveal unto us the will of God, to discover unto us our sin, to threaten us with the wrath and punishment of the Lord, to proclaim death, and to point us to Christ, that we may, before the eyes of God, be humble in heart, die unto sin, and seek and find the only and eternal medicine and remedy for our souls, Jesus Christ. Still quoting, in the same manner, it is in regards to the gospel. Wherever it is preached in true zeal, according to the pleasure of God, and unblameably in the power of the Spirit, so that it penetrates the hearts of the hearers, there we find a converted, changed, and new mind, which joyfully and gratefully gives praise to his God for his inexpressible great love towards us, miserable sinners, in Christ Jesus, and thus enters into newness of life willingly and freely by the power of a true and faith and a new birth. End of quote. When you become a child of God and repent from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have victory over fear. You can have victory over sin, and you can have victory over death. The promises he gives us from his word are incomparable to the things of this world. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, this time I want to read from 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a promise. What a wonderful promise. It is a place that is incorruptible. It is a place that is free from disease. It is a place that is free from pain and suffering. It is a place that is free from fear. If you enter this hope, this living hope, we can have freedom from fear and the oppression it brings. And nothing, hear me now, nothing can take this love and this joy, this peace, this promise away from us if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God if we live right and trust in his Son, Jesus. If we live right and put all our trust in him, no fear shall overtake us. No anxiety shall consume us. No panic shall get hold of us. And no virus will scare us. Because what is behind all these fears that we see? Not really the virus. For no one says, "I'm afraid of getting sick and recovering." No. You don't hear people say that. People say, "I'm afraid of getting sick and dying." It is death that is the underlying fear of this whole pandemic. It is the fear of the unknown. But Jesus has given us victory, not only over death, but fear itself. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. The Apostle Paul went so far to say to the Philippians, "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." He basically says that if I go on living, it will be for Christ, because nothing I can ever do could pay for the gift that he has given to me, which is eternal life. And if I should die, I would gain, because I would be with my Savior in glory. The Christian need not fear death. We're waiting for it, to be with our Savior. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 1, 23-26, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ, Jesus Christ, by my coming to you. You know, if he said, if I remain, it is so that you may have joy and faith. He also says in Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the peace you can have in knowing Jesus Christ. This is the comfort in knowing that this world, this broken and sick and diseased world, is not my home. My home is waiting for me in heaven. This is the freedom we can have from fear and from the mind-paralyzing anxiety it can grow into. We as Christians do not need to be part of this pandemic of fear that has engulfed the world. We can have victory. Paul also says in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You can be freed. You can have freedom. If we trust God and believe his word, his promises, his truth, then we as Christians should have nothing to fear. Our nation has gone a little bit crazy in these last few months. Our whole world has gone upside down with fear and anxiety and panic, and has gripped almost all people. And it's not about to let go. But we do not need to be afraid, because we know that we have eternal life with God in heaven. John says in chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from fear, free from death, free from that eternal judgment of hellfire, free from anything that is crushing your soul today. Nothing can comfort you in this pandemic our world is facing today than the truth of these words that we find in these pages of this book. I just want to close with a few encouraging verses. One from John, 1 John chapter 4, words that can give hope and calmness in a world that we are living in today. 1 John 4, 14 through 19 says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. E.W. Tozer once said, after the Bible, the next most valuable book for the Christian is a good hymnal. And a good hymn that I want to read for us is the hymn we have in our books, number 567, All Your Anxiety. And I just want to read the words. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. No friend so keen to help you, no friend so quick to hear, no place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. Come then, at once, delay no longer. Heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. May God give us peace during this troubled time in our world today. May he be your rock in this ever uncertain days of the coronavirus. Because Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. May he be our rock. May we rely on his peace. And may we trust him through this difficult world.